Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today we are on to day 11 of unpacking the beautiful teaching of the Little Way as taught and revealed through St. Therese and her reconsideration of the simplicity of the gospel, that unless we become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So I'm grateful to be with you as a host and a guide and an intercessor. Let's pray, asking the Holy Spirit to come upon us and enlighten our minds and our hearts that we might more fully receive and go deep into this beautiful teaching. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 11. Do three things. As we learned yesterday, the Little Way is all about the heart of the gospel, divine mercy. It's all about remaining little and then arriving at the heights of holiness through the descending mercy of Jesus. All right, so we simply remain little and then wait for the Lord to stoop down, take us into his arms, and raise us to the heights, right? Well, lest we mistakenly think that we need to just kick back, eat ice cream, and wait for the canonizations, St. Therese shares with us an illuminating metaphor of a little child at the bottom of a staircase, probably the rough stairway of perfection. Now the child, who is all of us little souls, cannot even climb the first step of that big staircase. We're too little. But Therese tells us to try. She says, raise your little foot to scale the stairway of holiness. Of course, we won't be successful. But Therese then adds, God requires you only to demonstrate your goodwill. In other words, we just need to give it a try. And as we do, Therese tells us that God will be conquered by our futile efforts and will then descend the stairway, gather us into his arms, and gather us to the heights. So Therese's point seems to be that our efforts in the spiritual life are absolutely necessary, but also absolutely useless. What? I mean that in the sense that the Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta meant when she'd often say, God does not call us to be successful, but to be faithful. In other words, applied to our spiritual lives, the Lord doesn't demand that we attain all the virtues, success, but that we simply keep trying, faithfulness. For those on the little way, the success part isn't what's most important. In fact, in a sense, it's sometimes better that little souls aren't successful. Here's what I mean. Jesus likes to keep little souls little. After all, if they were suddenly to see themselves bounding up the rough stairway of perfection with great strides, it might go to their heads, and they'd be too big for Jesus to lift. And so the Lord sometimes permits that little souls remain in the darkness of certain vices or sins, so they won't fall into worse ones, like the sin of pride. But don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Therese herself said to one of her novices who often failed in the practice of virtue. Quote, and if the good God wants you weak and helpless like a child, do you believe that you will have less merit? agree to stumble at every step, therefore, even to fall, to carry your cross weakly, to love your helplessness. Your soul will draw more profit from it than if, carried by grace, you would accomplish with enthusiasm heroic actions that would fill your soul with personal satisfaction and pride." End quote. In sum, then, the little way is often a little way of darkness. It's about accepting that we are to put up with ourselves, with all the darkness of our weakness, brokenness, and sin, without getting discouraged. It's recognizing, without giving up, that some struggles are chronic. It's realizing, without despairing, that they may be with us till our dying day. But it's also about realizing that this does not prevent us from becoming saints. So, even if we have to go to confession over and over for the same sins, we shouldn't get discouraged. And we should listen to Pope Francis, who said, "The Lord never tires of forgiving. Never. It's we who tire of asking for his forgiveness." Of course, we need to be sorry for our sins and make a firm purpose of amendment. But if we do that, if we keep trying, then there's no end to the Lord's mercy, and we can believe that he can and will satisfy our desires for holiness. Tomorrow we'll learn more about how God can and will bring little souls to the heights of holiness. For now, let's just consider that if we want to live the little way, we must do three things. Recognize the darkness of our littleness and brokenness. Keep trying to grow in holiness and do little things with great love. And keep trusting and believing that God will satisfy our desires for holiness, even if we don't yet fully understand how. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to do three things. Recognize the darkness of my littleness, keep trying to grow in holiness, and keep trusting in your mercy. Well, there it is, the three things. Gosh, thank you, Therese, for filling this out for us, and Father Gately for spelling it out for us. Hopefully you found these helpful, and it seemed like a really good next step from where we've been the last couple days of appreciating the littleness, this trust, this real surrender that can almost seem like a quietism, if you know what that heresy is. Quietism is that the only thing we have to do is just sit there, just receive, just be, and let God do everything. And not to take away from the real importance of receptivity and that disposition that's able to allow God to be the main actor in our relationship, but it also does demand a response. We love because he first loved us, for we've come to know and believe in the love that God has for us. And as St. James says, if you want to boast of your faith without any works, I will actually prove my faith by the works that I do. And so it's those works that are the response of the love that prove the faith, that relationship that we have with God. So this to me was a very helpful next step, that the image of the child, which I think I kind of already gave, but of course Therese does it better, of this idea, here's the child at the bottom of the staircase and isn't even able to climb up the first step. And yet it's still so important that the child tries. And it's that effort, as pointless as it might seem, that is able to move the heart of God, that there's a real desire. And yeah, this speaks to me in a couple of different ways. One, I'm thinking about, how many souls really want holiness, maybe really want to grow in prayer, and can maybe read a lot of books, can maybe talk a lot about prayer, but if they never actually spend time trying to pray, then there's like this block that keeps God from being able to come in and just like speak that word to the soul. I like to make fun of myself because I read one of my favorite books is on silence. It's called The Power of Silence by Cardinal Robert Serra. And I love silence. I also love reading about silence more than I do actually being in silence so often. So anyway, it's like, okay, you can do all the thinking, you can do all the talking and philosophizing about it, but unless you actually go and do it, then that power of silence that isn't just an absence of noise, it's actually the still presence of the other. Then we don't allow that presence to come into our hearts. So anyway, that's it, right? I don't know how that applies to you and your own relationship with the Lord, maybe pursuit of holiness or vocation. Oh my gosh, I think about how easy it is to like discern yourself to death, thinking about like, is God calling me to be married? Is he calling me to be a monk? Is he calling me to be a nun? Is he calling me to be a priest? Obviously not all of these, trying to universalize it for the different sexes, but yeah. And then like to think about it, to pray about it, but never actually call the vocation director, to never actually go and make the visit. And I just know for me, it was easy to like think about it. It was easy to kind of pray about it without actually going, without actually taking that step. So I don't know what that is for you, especially in this pursuit of holiness. But what is that step? What is that trying that the Lord would be inviting us to do? God does not call us to be successful, but to be faithful. And there's Mother Teresa with cutting right through it, that we often look for the success on our own terms, and to really allow the faithfulness, our own commitment to, here's where the Lord is. I'm going to choose to love him. I'm going to try and spread his love to those people who are in my vicinity, in my life, in my reach. And it's just in that that allows God access to our hearts and through our hearts to those people in our lives. This is what gives him access, and that's that trying. Okay, and then how did you feel about the end of that first full paragraph on page 56? Where he says, that's the last line, in fact, in a sense, it's sometimes better that little souls aren't successful. That Jesus would want to keep souls little in the struggle, in the continual habitual falling, humiliation, and yeah, just in that fight, that would actually be something that God would permit. I don't know if that relates to you at all, fellow sinner, but I think most of us can relate in some way where to be able to say like, here's this vice. I'm going to go to confession and I'm going to be disciplined and root it out of my life. And then boom, like I'm free. A lot of us though, continue to struggle and continue to come back again and again and again. That thorn in the side, as St. Paul will say. And some of us, it's very easy to disqualify ourselves based on our struggle, to disqualify ourselves based on this fight and this vice. And here's something very radical that has taken me a long, long time to really accept and receive with confidence, that doesn't disqualify us, but it can actually be a means for our sanctification. That in the midst of this struggle, this fight, that by continuing to persevere and hand ourselves over to the Lord again and again and again, that this can actually be the way that the Lord wants to reveal the depths of his mercy, reveal the depths of his commitment to us, reveal his presence to us, and even remind us of just how much we really need the Lord. For instance, right? Imagine that same person who is, by their own cooperation with God's grace, they go to confession, are forgiven of their sin, and then by the strength of their willpower are able to root out that vice on their first effort, and they never struggle with that sin again. The evil one is so lurking to take advantage of that and to maybe twist it so that the soul would think that, ha, look at how much I'm in control. Look at how great I am. Look at what I was able to do. And maybe it's even like what I was able to do with God. And yet it's still missing this complete reliance on God's mercy. That it's only because of his grace that I'm able to be forgiven or make any effort at all to rid it. In comparison, the soul that struggles, that comes back again and again and again, and is tempted to think that he's disqualified, but then is able to reconsider just the beautiful lesson of, Lord, I am so dependent on you. There's nothing that I can do without you. I'm not able to rid myself of this bad habit, this vice. Here I am in the struggle. And unless you, Lord, come and rip me out, I will not survive. And the evil one loves, again, right? He's lurking and he wants to keep us down there. He wants to plant the lie that, nope, this proves that God isn't real. This proves that the sacrament of confession doesn't work. And that you're just fooling yourself and you're going to always struggle with that. And you should just, like, instead of keep fighting, you should just give in and say to heck with it. And so to twist that around and to be able to accept it as a path towards that beautiful way that the Lord would call us to a humble and more heartfelt, wholehearted reliance on him. Is that making sense? That keep trying, that keep trusting. I do love that line of Pope Francis, the Lord never tires of forgiving. It's we who get tired of asking for forgiveness. Have you ever felt fatigued in asking for forgiveness, or maybe thinking that this priest is going to get tired of forgiving you? I assure you he doesn't. I can just speak for myself of just the joy that I have as a confessor to be able to see that soul come back again. Because again, the evil one loves to make us despair and to be cynical, to say, nope, freedom isn't possible. The Lord doesn't want to heal me. He's tired of forgiving me. And that discouragement, that despair is the twisting of that littleness, of that staying unsuccessful. And so for us to really pray for that grace to trust him. Remember that secret to trust that we learned, I forget what day it was? Praise, right? To be able to praise God even in the midst of the struggle. To praise him for the opportunity to rely on his mercy again. To praise him for even the failure of our own efforts, to praise him for just how futile our efforts are, to praise him for who he is, that in his goodness, we know he's here. We know his grace is sufficient. We know that his power is made perfect in our weakness, and we know that he is victorious over sin, over all death, over all evil. And all we need to do is continuing to be faithful, to keep trusting in him. So that's why we pray, come Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to do three things. One, to recognize the darkness of my littleness. Two, to keep trying to grow in holiness. And three, to keep trusting in your mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So good to be with you all. Continue to persevere. Here we are moving in from day 11 to 12. Let's continue to linger on these truths and asking God to expand them in our minds and our hearts that we might live out this little way more and more fully. God bless you all. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries, events, and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.